Our scripture reading today will come from Psalm 90. Psalm 90, which is considered the New Year's Psalm, the psalm which often is preached or proclaimed on either the last Sunday or the first Sunday of the year. And you notice it is a psalm of Moses, the only psalm in the Psalter credited to Moses. And so on the first Sunday of the year, our message today will be on Psalm 90. Let's pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible word as we find it in Psalm 90 this morning. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is being renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70. Or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Thus, the reading of God's word this morning as we find it from Psalm 90. Also to remind you that in your bulletins is an outline of this morning's message, and on the opposite side is a reading from Psalm 90 from the English Standard Version, and want to encourage you to follow along there as I'll be highlighting different portions of this psalm. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, a number of years ago, country music star Tim McGraw had a hit song called Live Like You Were Dying. In the song, McGraw sings about someone in their 40s who gets the news that from the doctors that he's very sick and may not have much time to live. Upon hearing the news, the person in the song begins to evaluate his life and how he lives day by day. The song speaks of his greater appreciation for each day, and he goes about trying to live a better life, to be a better husband and friend, and doing so many of the things that he never had time before to do. He begins to live each day, according to the song, like he was dying, knowing that each day could be his last. As I mentioned earlier, our text today is Psalm 90, which is often referred to as the New Year's Psalm. If you go to the internet, you could see that this psalm is so often preached on either the last Sunday of the year or the first Sunday of the year, because it is a psalm of reflection, a psalm that speaks of time in regards to our days and years from the perspective of living our lives before God and His time. The hymn writer Isaac Watts used the first verses of this psalm as the basis of what our closing hymn is today. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast in our eternal home. But as we look at this psalm as a whole this morning, in light of the coming year, you will see that the key point of this psalm is the question that is being asked in verse 11 and answered in verse 12. The question of verse 11 is, who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? And it's answered in the verses that follow, highlighted in verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. What does that mean? To get or to gain a heart of wisdom. In the modern day words of Tim McGraw's song, it is about living like you are dying. The first thing you must notice about this psalm is the author. The psalm tells us that the author is Moses, and that this is the only psalm in the entire Psalter that is credited to Moses. And in the flow of the book of Psalms, we have mentioned previously that there are five books of the Psalms, a collection of Psalms that is collected together in five books throughout the 150 Psalms. This Psalm 90 comes at the beginning of book 4. At the end of book 3 of the Psalms, the themes of those particular Psalms are about God's people Israel in despair. Their nation has been brought into exile by the Babylonians. They no longer have a nation, they no longer have a king, they no longer have a temple, and they find themselves wondering what's next. What should they do? How should they live in the world? The inspired author or editor of the Psalms, who places Psalm 90 where it does at the beginning of book 4, concludes that ending of despair of book 3 with a psalm authored by Moses, bringing God's people back to the time of redemption from Egypt, reminding them of the Old Testament redemption event that took place even before they had a nation of Israel. And now, as they look at the destruction of their land, as they look at the fact that they have no king and no temple, and they wonder if God still cares, they're reminded of what God did previously in generations past. The psalm starts out in verses 1 and 2 with a perspective of time from God's perspective. If you look carefully at the psalm as I've laid it out for you there, you notice that it's divided really into four parts. The first part, as I mentioned, is God's time. It's verses 1 and 2. The second part being described is verses 3 through 6, where it describes man and his understanding of time. The third part, verses 7 through 11, is speaking of God's anger and wrath, where man stands before God. And finally, in the last section of the psalm, verses 13 through 17, it speaks of God's redemption and his return. Let's start out with the perspective from God's time perspective. Now, on your outlines, I've laid to you a little thematic chiasm where you can see the flow of this first section. You notice it starts out the first word, verse 1, with Lord, and it ends the last part of verse 2 with God. It begins and ends with God, this section of the psalm. And what is it about God that we would need to know? The first part of verse 1 states, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. It speaks of God's presence through all God's time. It ends the third line of verse 2 with this, from everlasting to everlasting you are God. When it comes to time, you see, God spans all generations. He is from everlasting to everlasting. There is no beginning, there is no end to God and who he is and his perspective of time. In fact, in the middle of this section, the first two lines of verse 2, we read that God is even before creation. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, in terms of space, in terms of how we know it, the world we live in, God was there and present before the mountains were brought forth. God was present before there ever was an earth and a world. When it comes to time, God is eternal and everlasting. But notice in verse 1, what he speaks of then as the psalm begins, concerning his people. Lord You have been our dwelling place in all generations. When it comes to God and our understanding of who He is, the psalmist is telling us that God is from everlasting to everlasting. He is forever. He was before the creation. And God, for His people, has been what? Verse 1, our dwelling place in all generations. All generations of people that belong to Him are in His dwelling place. You see how the psalm starts out. You can look around you and become discouraged about the world, about your circumstances. The people of Israel, certainly with no nation, no temple anymore, no king anymore, and living in captivity in a foreign and wicked culture. They start out this book 4 of the Psalms, the first psalm, with a perspective from heaven. That the fact that they are God's and in His dwelling place, that doesn't change. That has been the same from generation to generation, and God's people are dwelling with Him in that place. So the psalmist starts out with God and His people and God's understanding of time. But in part 2 of the psalm then, he moves on to describe time from man's perspective. He starts out in verse 3, "You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man." Man is being returned to dust by God. But notice how he goes on to describe time. Verse 4, "For 1,000 years in your sight, 1,000 years in God's sight are but what? As yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night." Notice how he's comparing the time aspect of verse 4. 1,000 years in God's sight is like what to man? Like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night. Again, a reference to a day, a yesterday and a night. And it's quickly. And for God, it's 1,000. For 1,000 years, it's to us. But to God, it's a moment, like a yesterday, like a watch in the night. Notice verses 5 and 6. "You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream." A dream happens in the night. "Like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers." You have in the first line of verse 5, like a dream that happens at the night. The second line, the morning. Verse 6, the first line, the morning. The second line, the evening. Morning and evening, a day in the life of a man or of a person. So we go from God and time when it comes to eternity, man who dwells with God in all eternity, to an understanding of time from man's perspective. Man lives day by day. God, 1,000 years in your sight are like a yesterday when it's past, or a watch in the night. Why is this? Why is time so short for man? Notice verse 3 again. "You return man to dust." The psalmist is saying, "You return man to dust. God, you return man to dust." That is what happened after the creation of the world, when Adam fell into sin. God said, "From dust you are, to dust you will return." And look how he adds and expands on it in the second line of verse 3. "And say, return." There it is again. "Return man to dust," first line, "and say, return, O children of man." That means that everybody that is born in Adam returns to dust. All the children of Adam, all the children that were born in him, all the generations that have lived after him, God is saying, "Return to dust," and say, "Return, O children of man, to dust." Man is born in sin under the curse of God, and the wages of sin is death. And the psalmist is telling us that when it comes to man, God says to man, "Return to dust. Return, O children of man." And for man, it happens very quickly. Notice again verse 5, the first line. "You sweep them away as with a flood." The destruction of man happens very, very quickly when it comes to God's perspective. Like a dream, he says. Like grass that is renewed in the morning, and in the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. In the culture of that particular city or that place, of that land, oftentimes the hot, dry desert, a rainstorm would come in the morning, and the grass, having had the rain on it, would green up for the morning or for the first part of the day. But as the sun comes out again and heats up the day, in the evening it fades and withers. The psalmist, you see, is describing man, fallen man under the curse of sin and God. And as he rises, as he fades and withers, we are told in the middle part of the psalm why. Notice there is a particular structure to the middle part of this psalm, and you can see that structure by way of the repetitious words. Verse 7 says, "For we are brought to an end by your anger." Second line, "By your wrath we are dismayed." Now drop down to verse 11. "Who considers the power of your anger," first line, and then second line, "and your wrath according to the fear of you." Anger and wrath, verse 7. Anger and wrath, verse 11. The theme of this section is the fact that man is living as fallen man under God's anger and wrath. God's anger, verse 7, has brought to an end. We are brought to an end by your anger. God's wrath has left us dismayed. And why is God angry? And why is his wrath against fallen man? Yes, it is because, as we learned in the first part of the psalm, because he is born in Adam as a sinner. But verse 8 expands. "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." Man is born in sin. To dust he will go, to dust he will return, and God knows our iniquities. The psalmist points out that there is no hiding your sins before God. Our sins are ever before him. Even our secret sins, he knows the secret sins. The world around us may not know them. We may be able to hide them from others, what we do in the dark. But our secret sins are ever in the light of his presence and holiness. And because of our sin, because God's anger and wrath is stirred up against us because of our sin, we read in verse 9 what our days are like. "For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh." The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Some live 70, some live 80 years if they are extra strength. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. It seems discouraging, doesn't it, that all our days pass away under the wrath of God? That yes, God may bless some with 70 years or 80 years and they think they've lived a long life. But in the perspective, from God's perspective, 1,000 years in his sight are like yesterday when it is past or as a watch in the night. For man, it seems long. For God, it's only a moment. And those moments that we live, he's telling us in verse 10, there is toil and trouble. There is frustration. They are soon gone, and we fly away. And this has caused the psalmist to ask the question. It's there in verse 11. You may remember in the beginning, the introduction of the psalm, I said that this question is one of the keys to the psalm, the turning point to the question the psalmist is asking. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? In other words, as the psalmist has laid out here before us, We understand God's time and his eternal dwelling place. We understand that man is created in Adam and is a sinner, and his days, to dust you are, to dust you will return. We understand, as he has described it, that God is angry with us, that his wrath is against us as sinners. And now the psalmist is asking in verse 11, who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? And the question he's putting before us today is, who considers that as they live day by day? The world around us wants to give us a different message. It wants to say to us that you need to live for yourself, that you need to live for today, that you need to focus your life as you plan out a new year on how you live and what you want to accomplish and what you want to do and how much fun and pleasure you want to have. But now he asks the question, who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? Who lives that way? Who lives understanding that they are sinners and in need of God's grace? And so verse 12 and the verses that follow, he answers that question. Look at verse 12. So teach us to number our days. Teach us, he says, to number our days according to this understanding that we are sinners and in need of God's grace. That though we may live a life of 70 to 80 years, but if we don't know God, from God's perspective, it is a moment in time. Teach us to number our days. And now look at the second part of that verse, verse 12. That we may get a heart of wisdom. The popular song that I mentioned at the beginning of this sermon, To Live Like You Were Dying, describes somebody who gets that understanding of life when he hears the news that he's very sick and his life may be over at 40, half the span of 80 years, and he begins to evaluate his life. The song is about somebody who now is stopped at a moment, and now he's evaluating the relationships that he has, his wife, his family. He evaluates what he's been doing, what he's accomplished in this world. He grants forgiveness, it says in the song, to those who he has not done before. He's numbering his days, appreciating his days. And what does the second part of the verse say? That we may get a heart of wisdom. But when the psalmist is speaking about getting a heart of wisdom, though the principle is the same, the message of the psalm is different than the song. And it's different in this way. Number your days, the psalmist says, in light of the fact that you know you're a sinner and in need of God's grace. And you live your life with the understanding that because you are a sinner, God's anger and wrath is turned against you, and he could wipe you out in a moment. And now as you live day by day, as you plan out the future, he's saying to us, number your days that you may gain a heart of wisdom. But what is that heart of wisdom? What does the psalmist want us to know as we think ahead and live day by day in a new year with a heart of wisdom? Where does that come from? What is the source of that heart of wisdom? Verse 13, return, O Lord, how long have pity on your servants. Now in this psalm, you have seen that word before, haven't you? Return. It's found in verse 3. And in verse 3, in that part of the psalm, the psalmist is calling God, you return man to dust. What has God done? Man who is born in sin, from dust he is, to dust he shall return. Man, Adam, the first man, and his children return, O children of man. They are being returned to the dust. But now the psalmist, you see, is calling in verse 13 for the Lord to return. Return, O Lord, how long? And do what? Have pity on your servants. The return is the return of the Lord to those who are born in sin and will return to the dust. The return is to those who are guilty before Him of their iniquities, and their secret sins are ever before a holy God in light of His presence. The return He is calling to is for the Lord only by His grace to return and give redemption unto His people. It is a return in which God later will do in the sending of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam who will come to earth, who will die on the cross and pay for the sins of His people. That He will go to the dust, that He will go to the grave, that He will rise out of that tomb and give life to His people so that God, by His grace, may restore them and return them, so they can dwell with Him for all generations. The psalmist in verse 13, when it comes to describing what it means to live day by day with a heart of wisdom, is calling upon God to return to His people so that they can live for Him, so that they can live out of His grace and salvation that He has given. He calls him at the second line of verse 13 to have pity on your servants, to have grace and compassion for those sinners who are returning to the dust. Return, he's calling, and give life and salvation, as we know now in fulfillment of this psalm, through Jesus Christ, your Son. Now notice then in the following verses, he again is speaking of days and years. Verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Verse 15, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us and for as many years as we have been seen evil. Notice he speaks of all our days, our many days, our many years. He's repeating the language found in verse 9 and 10. That section of the psalm where there is despair. Verse 9, for all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or by some reason of strength 80, yet their span is all but toil and trouble. We are soon gone and they all fly away. But now at the end of the psalm, you see, after the return, in the redemption, as he repeats those words, all our days, for as many days, as many years, verses 14 and 15, look now at the perspective that the psalmist has. Verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love. Satisfy us. That satisfaction comes from the fact that God's steadfast love, His covenant love, the Hebrew word is hesed, His covenant love has come upon you. The salvation love is God. The love of God as it has come to you through His redemption in Jesus Christ. And the psalmist now, at the end of that psalm, has a completely different perspective. Instead of sadness, and a year going by with a sigh, and a day under the wrath of God, and frustration and trouble, he wakes up in the morning and calls for God to satisfy him with His covenant love and salvation. Why? Look at the second line. That we may rejoice and be glad all our days. For those who have been redeemed by God and saved by Him, by His Son, Jesus Christ, the day begins with a satisfaction that you belong to Him and the salvation of God is yours. And it gives you the reason to rejoice and be glad all of your days. Verse 15, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us and for as many years as we have seen evil. Does it mean that life is going to be easy for the believer? Does it mean that God loves you if everything just goes your way and smoothly as you all planned it out and everything goes just like you hoped? No, verse 15 says, make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us. There's going to be troubling times. There's going to be difficulties ahead. As many years as you live, you're going to see all kinds of evil and frustration. But the psalmist now, as he understands the redemption of God that has come, the return of God unto him by his grace, is now outlook on life of days and years. Is joy and gladness no matter what the circumstances that comes their way. He doesn't get frustrated with life because things don't go as he had hoped. He doesn't think that God has abandoned him or left him. He lives day by day with the satisfaction and joy and gladness that God has returned and brought him from the dust to his eternal dwelling. And no matter what happens, no matter what frustration and evil and toil, he knows that God's grace belongs to him. But what does he say in verse 16? Let your work be shown to your servants. That's God's salvation work. Let the salvation of God he's given you be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. You see it? There it is again. The first part of the psalm, the end of verse 3, return, O children, to man. Man is born in sin, and the children of man, all the descendants of Adam, from dust they are, to dust they shall return. But now the servants of God, verse 16, that have been saved, your glorious power, may it be shown in your children, that next generation that belongs to you, that the servants, the children of man, may give glory to God and salvation in Jesus Christ. Verse 17, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us. Those who know the salvation of God, may his favor be upon us as we live for him each day of the year. And then notice the last part of verse 17. And establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, repeated, establish the work of our hands. Do you see the mirror imagery that's taking place in the last part of this psalm? The work in verse 16 is God's work being shown to his servants and God's glorious power to the children of those servants and the favor of the Lord that is now upon them. And what then does he ask God to do? That God establish the work of the hands of his people. That God's people, as they think ahead into the future, they not think about what they want to do, what they want to accomplish in this world, but that they know, living as if they are dying, that they are saved by the grace of God, that God, through his work, has redeemed them, and the work that they do and they seek to establish is his work working through them. Notice how it is repeated. And establish the work of our hands upon it. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Earlier, he's described man as grass that springs up in the morning and dies and withers at night. That is the work of sinners who don't know God. They think they accomplish things in this world. They want to take credit for what they do and what they have done. But the only work that lasts for eternity is the work of God that he does through his servants for his glory unto the redemption that Christ has given us. Psalm 90 is a New Year's Day psalm. It reminds us, first of all, that we are God's that we are in His dwelling place as His people. It reminds us that we're born in sin, and that because we're born in sin and are sinners, God's wrath and anger is against us. It calls us to live day by day, numbering our days with a heart of wisdom. And the wisdom is described as someone who knows that by God's grace, He has returned to them, saving them from their sins and death by His grace and mercy. And they live their life each day of a year, knowing His steadfast love, satisfied with it, and making joy and salvation, no matter what the circumstances, the focus of their life. That they would live out as servants of God, who has established His work through them, living for Him or His glory. That is what it means to live each day like you are dying. Do you live like you are dying? Much to think about as we begin a new year. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for this psalm, which reminds us of who we are before You. For Lord, as we live in this world, those who do not know You are dust and will return to the dust forever. But Lord, as the psalmist reminds us, You have returned to us. You have saved us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And You have placed us in the heavenly dwelling. Lord, as we live day by day, as we face frustrations, toil, difficulties, and pain, grant us the joy and happiness of this salvation, that no matter what the circumstances or what may come our way, we may rejoice in You. And grant us, O Lord, the knowledge that Your work has been completed in Christ, and that as we serve You, as we plan out what we will do, that it would be for Your glory, the glory of Christ forevermore. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.